This is Jewish Board Talk with Cherise Zifford, only on 101.9 High FM.
If I'm reading my listeners correctly, there's a sense of excitement, anticipation, and also possibly a bit of panic. That's what Pesach does to us. It is the eight-day festival when we commemorate the emancipation of the Israelites from slavery in ancient Egypt. And gosh, it feels like there's a lot that still needs to be done. To get perspective, I have asked Robert and Temi Hadar to be my guests now to help us navigate the upcoming days. Robertson, welcome, and thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
I love what you said just before we started chatting live, and how to not lose your mind before Pesach sounds like the potential book that you could write, because there's
a
lot
to answer, maybe.
There's a lot to be said, and I know I'm sure you must be incredibly busy together with all of us frantically running around from shop to shop to get that last piece of whatever it is that we desperately need but can't find, don't have. And then there's also the emotional aspect to Pesach. And I wonder if you wouldn't mind sharing just some of your thoughts on how not to lose our minds.
So I think there's a few different aspects. I think, you know, there's this law, and I'm blanking on the name, where, you know, a task will take the time you have. You know, so if you have an hour to do a task, you'll do it in an hour. But if you have 10 minutes, you'll somehow manage to get it done in 10 minutes. And I think, you know, for most of us, we tend to go a little bit overboard for Pesach. I'm talking about myself here. You know, I was talking to my sister-in-law last night, and I said, you know, I'm feeling overwhelmed. I haven't started cooking. I feel like everybody in Joburg has like freezers full of food and their Seder table set, and we're still cleaning our house and I haven't started cooking. And I host a lot. And she said, well, let me tell you, I went to visit my grandmother yesterday, and this is what she told me. She said, after Bedikas Chametz, so the night before Pesach, her and her kids would take up the boxes from the basement of the Pesach stuff. They would unpack the Pesach stuff into the clean kitchen that was covered, and they would make some chicken, some potato kugel, some chicken soup, and that's it. It was fresh, it was delicious, and she said, and everyone has the best memories of those Pesachs. And if you look at it that way, that's very calming. And she said, like, all the extras and all the fancy desserts and the fancy whatever, caramelized nuts, like, that's not really, like, if you can do it, that's great. But if you can't, it's fine. You know, and that was very calming.
Okay, so it doesn't need to be what it may potentially have become is one aspect of it. But there are minimum requirements. Okay, so let's talk about family, okay? Family and memories. Family and memories. Let's just explore that, because, as I was saying, these are the festivals that you remember from your childhood. You remember the family sitting together. You remember parents, grandparents. You remember how they used to do it. You remember somebody, you know, mushing fish or frying fish or boiling fish or whatever it is. Dealing with those very evocative memories.
Yeah, and I think that is so special. And really, Pesach is, like, on a spiritual level, it's about l'dor v'dor, like transmitting our story, and not just our story, but those special recipes, and, you know, that special tune of the Haggadah, you know, that song. And I think that's powerful. And those stuff, you know, yes, I would say take a little bit of extra time to make your grandmother's kichel, or you know, that special recipe instead of the 500 new recipes you found on Instagram. You know, just those homemade, traditional, I would say old school, classic, like, I would invest a bit more effort and, you know, kind of to pass that down to your kids. And, you know, try and, I'm talking to myself here, like, try and invite your kids into the kitchen with you if you can. I mean, my son was in the kitchen this morning, and now the floor needs to be mopped and all the cabinets need to be wiped down. But hopefully he'll remember that I cooked for Pesach and I'm not even 6 years old. And I do think being either together with family, or if you're not with family, both of those come with their own, you know, I think sometimes when we do get together with family, we have extremely high expectations of, like, the magical experience that it will be. And it is magical, but there's also the reality of people being overworked and out of their routine and kids staying up late and different family dynamics that could be stressful. And I think it's always kind of, we have to like take ourselves back to, you know, what is it really all about? And just kind of creating those, you know, take a walk if you need some space, or just kind of giving ourselves and everyone around us that grace that it will be magical, but it's not going to be perfect. And
And
if you,
sorry, carry on.
and I was just saying, and if you aren't with your family, and that's also brings up a whole range of other tricky emotions, and you're looking at the people who are complaining about being with their families, and you're like, do you know how lucky you are? But also to just kind of create your own memories, whether it's you by yourself, even, or you. I mean, I did a Seder by myself in Park Lane Hospital with a 1-day-old baby. It was just me and a newborn who was mostly sleeping. And I honestly, it's very memorable for me. I sat there, I crunched my matzah, had a little myrrh, attempted 4 cups of grape juice and 1 of wine. That was all the nurses said I could have. And yeah, I was alone. And it was a beautiful Seder.
So it also involves a little bit of tolerance, do you think?
I think absolutely. I think tolerance also for ourselves. Like, it doesn't have to be perfect. And to create the memories, it definitely doesn't need to be perfect. And I think we impose so much pressure on ourselves and on other people that everything has to be a certain way. And I really am talking to myself here. And if we can kind of let it go and say, like, I'm going to do my best. Like I said yesterday to Masmin, I said, what if I'm not ready for, like, what if Pesach comes and we're not ready? Like, I'm worried this is a real possibility. What will happen? And he's like, we will be ready. And the truth is, it's not my first time making Pesach. And I think I'm this stressed every year. And every year, Pesach is beautiful. And there's kind of just this acceptance of, like, I'm going to do the best that I can. And the rest is up to God. And I'm just going to kind of let go. And we acknowledge that when we clean our houses for Pesach, we're meant to clean our houses as best as we could and get rid of all chametz. But after that, we kind of nullify any chametz we might have. And we kind of acknowledge to God, like, I've done my best. Is it perfect? Like, I hope so. But if there is anything left, consider it nothing. Do you know what I'm saying? And we need to kind of have that attitude of, I'm going to do the best that I can and leave the rest up to God and just kind of go with the flow. And that's really what Pesach is about, I think.
We've kind of, in a way, focused on the Seders. But those were kind of like the highlights, and then we still got, you know, a couple more days. Any thoughts for those last couple of days before you onto the
So the
game?
truth is, I think the seders are a lot. There's a lot of ritual and meaning and importance. And I think sometimes when that pressure is over of, like, so much to do and the matzah to eat and are we doing this right and the steps to follow, Pesach is the intermediary days. The days of Chol HaMoed, like, traditionally are meant to be times of family, like, you know, go on trips or spend time together. And the last days also, you know, you could host friends or family or have quiet family meals without the pressure of, like, the Seder experience, which is beautiful, but it's also intense. And I think Pesach is meant to be it's a chag. It's meant to be joyful. And, you know, we wish each other a kasher and freilich and Pesach, a chag kasher v'sameach, and it should be happy and kosher. Like, we have to make sure that our focus on the details and doing it right doesn't take away from the joy, and that our joy also doesn't take away from doing it right. There's that. We say both. There's that balance, you know?
Thank you. You've calmed me down completely with that. That's
Oh,
finding
good.
the right finding the right balance has always been my strength in any
Yeah, no, not mine
situation.
either. I mean, I'm talking to myself here because I was freaking out right before I came on. So.
Okay, so we're not going to freak out anymore. We're going to ask our community not to freak out, to take a deep breath, and just focus on what in your closing remarks.
So focus on, this is the foundation of the Jewish people, that we are doing the same things as our parents, as our grandparents, as our great grandparents, as our great great grandparents. And know that you, wherever you might be, there are people around the world doing the exact same thing as you. They're also cleaning their house. They're also stressing out that their kids are making a mess. I mean, my sister told me her son walked into the house, her bedroom this morning, trailing crumbs and a piece of babka that he had somehow found after she had cleaned her whole house. And that experience that you're having, whether it's alone in your house, is actually being shared by millions of Jews around the world today and with generations of Jews that came before us. And if we can tap into that energy, that this is part of such a big picture, that I think will definitely center us and remind us of what it really is all about.
And on that beautiful note, I wish you a Chag Pesach Sameach.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
That is Robertson Timi Hadar, and we've been talking about what else? Pesach.